And across our beautiful, evolving world, another Easter dawns, tenderly inviting us to ponder upon wider truths and alternative visions. Truths of both heart and mind that find their roots in the mystery and practicality of God.
Basic truths illumining our uncertain journeys, allowing us to reconnect with the energies of Christ, that life does come from death, that He is not the final word, that the broken continue to sing with joy, that the trees and the mountains clap their hands, that forgiveness resides in the heart of the human condition, that love, with its multiple faces, remains our companion.
And so we rise and make our acclamation. Alleluia, Christ is risen.
The Lord is risen indeed. Alleluia.
Risen again in the midst of it all, that in some amazing way, we too may be a people of hope who walk in the light, imbued with the Spirit.
Thank you.
Very early in the morning, God created all that is good and beautiful. Very early in the morning, a mother placed her newborn in a manger. Very early in the morning, the good news that Jesus was risen and alive in their midst was shared with frightened friends. The Lord be with you.
And also with you.
Let us pray. Almighty God, who through your only begotten Son, Jesus Christ, overcame death and opened to us the gate of everlasting life, grant that we who celebrate with joy the day of the Lord's resurrection may be raised from the death of sin by your life-giving Spirit. Through Jesus Christ, our Lord, who lives and reigns with you and the Holy Spirit, one God, now and forever.
Amen.
Isaiah. On this morning, the Lord of hosts will make for all peoples a feast of rich food, a feast of well-aged wines, strained clear. And he will destroy on this mountain the shroud that is cast over all peoples, the sheet that is spread over all nations. He will swallow up death forever. Then the Lord will wipe away the tears from all faces. And the disgrace of his people he will take away from all the earth, for the Lord has spoken. It will be said on that day, "Lo, this is the Lord our God. We have waited for him so that he might save us. This is the Lord for whom we have waited. Let us be glad and rejoice in his salvation." The word of the Lord. A reading from the Acts of the Apostles. Then Peter began to speak to them. I truly understand that God shows no partiality, but in every nation, anyone who fears him and does what is right is acceptable to him. You know the message he sent to the people of Israel, preaching peace by Jesus Christ. He is the Lord of all. That message spread throughout Judea, beginning in Galilee after the baptism that John announced. How God anointed Jesus of Nazareth with the Holy Spirit and with power. How he went about doing good and healing all who were oppressed by the devil, for God was with him. We are witness to all that he did both in Judea and in Jerusalem. They put him to death by hanging him on a tree. But God raised him on the third day and allowed him to appear, not to all people, but to us who were chosen by God as witnesses and who ate and drank with him after he rose from the dead. He commanded us to preach to the people and to testify that he is the one ordained by God as judge of the living and the dead. All the prophets testify about him that everyone who believes in him receives forgiveness of sins through his name. The word of the Lord.
The Holy Gospel of our Lord Jesus Christ, according to Mark.
Glory to you, Lord Christ.
When the Sabbath was over, Mary Magdalene and Mary, the mother of James, and Salome bought spices so that they might go and anoint him. And very early on the first day of the week, when the sun had risen, they went to the tomb. They had been saying to one another, "Who will roll away the stone for us from the entrance to the tomb?" When they looked up, they saw that the stone, which was very large, had already been rolled back. As they entered the tomb, they saw a young man dressed in a white robe sitting on the right side, and they were alarmed. And he said to them, "Do not be afraid. You are looking for Jesus of Nazareth, who was crucified. He has been raised. He is not here. Look, there is the place they laid him. But go, tell his disciples and Peter that he is going ahead of you to Galilee. There you will see him, just as he told you." So they went out and fled from the tomb, for terror and amazement had seized them, and they said nothing to anyone, for they were afraid. And all that had been commanded them, they told briefly to those around Peter. And afterward, Jesus himself sent out through them, from east to west, the sacred and imperishable proclamation of eternal salvation. The Gospel of the Lord.
Praise to you, Lord Christ.
it would have been comforting. It would have been sad and comforting and cathartic for the women to be able to wash and anoint Jesus' body. Yes, it would have brought their grief to the fore, but that action was what they could do for dead loved ones. Wash and anoint their bodies. So it would have been comfortable for them. It would have brought perhaps a little bit of closure to the recent awful events surrounding the arrest, the trial, and the execution of their teacher and friend. It would have been comforting, but that didn't happen. They went to the tomb worried that they might not have access to his body because of the stone. And ironically, what they find is that the stone was rolled away and they didn't have access to his body because he wasn't there. Not what they had expected. And it's fascinating to look at the ironies in this story. The irony of worrying about being able to get in the tomb to get to him and finding they can get in the tomb, but he's not there. We also think about how in the Gospel according to Mark, Jesus is continually expressing the presence of the kingdom of God by performing miraculous acts. And he heals and he liberates and he frees and he does these amazing things and he tells people right away, don't tell anybody. And the reason that he does that is because he doesn't want his ministry to be characterized by spectacle. So he tells them, don't tell anybody. And of course, people immediately go forth and they tell people. They're excited, they're enthusiastic, and they want to tell people. And here the messenger says to them, he wants you to go and tell. And the text says, and they leave, and they don't tell anybody because they were terrified. So he says, don't tell early in the gospel, and they go and tell. And he says, tell at the end of the gospel, and they don't tell. The irony of it is amusing, to say the least. And then there's this messenger, this young man. The phrase young man is actually one word in Greek. And the other, there are only two places that word is used in the Gospel according to Mark. And the other place where that word is used is in the story at Jesus' arrest. It's just a little paragraph, easily missed. Jesus is arrested. Among the crowd that was there around Jesus was a young man, and the text says he was dressed only in a linen wrap. And the guards try to seize him too, and they get hold of the wrap, and he races away naked. And when we encounter that word only there, and only at this scene where there's a young man to tell them that Jesus is not there, we have to pay attention. And it makes us think of ancient baptismal practices where people were baptized by being immersed naked. And upon arising, were clothed in a white robe. So we wonder if that's what the author of the Gospel according to Mark was hinting at. It's lurking there in the scenery, in the imagery, this baptism imagery. And so what we are left with as we encounter this story, which at first seems like a simple little story, is a great deal actually of complexity. And we're left to wonder, why is it that there are all these ironies? And why is it that this empty tomb is the only symbol that we have of the risen one. What's that about? And as we reflect on that, we begin to realize that had Jesus been there waiting on them, we'd have clung to that. They would have clung to that. The image of Jesus sitting in his tomb. And they would not have realized that he had more important things to do than hang out at his tomb. And that is ultimately the most interesting part of this gospel story, that Jesus is on the move. The risen one is on the move. He has important things to do. He's on the way. He leaves a message at the empty tomb. Follow me. Go back to Galilee. And Galilee is where his earthly ministry was, where he was doing all of that healing and exorcising and restoring and liberating. All of that was happening in Galilee. We're sent back to the place of his ministry all those years before his death. And then we look at that gospel again, the gospel according to Mark, and we see that many, many times throughout the gospel, that word rising is used. He raises people from sickness to health. He raises people from death to life. He raises people from blindness to sight. He raises people from being possessed by demons to being set free and liberated. Throughout the gospel, he raises people, and we begin to realize because the tomb is empty, and he hasn't waited there, we begin to realize that resurrection has been happening all the way through the gospel. And it's not something that we can see until after he is risen. Then we see it. Then we begin to realize that the resurrection is not something that we cling to. The resurrection is not something we cling to. It's not a security blanket for our anxiety about dying. Resurrection is about sharing the life of God and doing the things that God does. He sends them on their way with a message to share. And that's crucial. That is crucial. Because Jesus, in his being born, in his living and his dying, gathers up all of human life and makes it part of his own. And he rises and he brings our life with him. And we now live with God. And resurrection is a result of life with God. The goal, the important thing, the hot issue is being part of God. We live in Christ now. One of the results of that is resurrection. One of the results of that is life after death. Eternity is because God's life is eternal, and we share God's life. It's a result. It's an effect. It's caused by God's desire, God's loving desire to share all of God's life with us. And so resurrection is not a thing to cling to, because it's just an effect of living with God. And it's God in Christ to whom we cling. It is God in Christ whom we imitate in the power of the Holy Spirit. It turns out when resurrection is not a thing, but a descriptor of the life that we live, the life that we live now, and the life that we live when we die, and the life that we live after we die. It turns out when that's what resurrection is a description of that, its best symbol is an empty tomb, full of potential, and not a place you hang out, because there is no hanging out. It's all about going. It's all about sharing the message. Last night, somebody who's been at all of our Holy Week services, it's a big week, all of our Holy Week services, said to me, "I think it'd be easier to be Hindu." And Deacon Greg said, "Really? With all those gods?" And I know an old monk who said, "This eternal life stuff is very tiring." And it is, because it's on the move. It's because God is a verb. It's because what we're doing is being set on the path. And so we're always on the move. It's not about resting. It's not about comfort. Yes, it would have been nice to anoint and wash his body. That would have been comforting, but it would have missed the point. That Jesus is risen because God is on the move, and what God is doing will not be stopped, even by death. That's why the empty tomb is the symbol. And so we're challenged today. We're challenged as we remember and rejoice and celebrate in the resurrection. We're challenged to understand that resurrection, it's a call long before it's a comfort. Long before it's a comfort, the resurrection of Christ is a call to each and every one of us.
As you are able, please stand and face east, the direction of sunrise and a symbol of the resurrection, as we recite the Nicene Creed. We believe in one God,
Father Almighty, Maker of heaven and earth, all that is seen and unseen. We believe in one Lord Jesus Christ, the only Son of God, eternally begotten of the Father, God from God, light from light, true God from true God, begotten, not made, of one being with the Father. Through him all things were made. For us and for our salvation, he came down from heaven, was incarnate from the Holy Spirit and the Virgin Mary, and became truly human. For our sake, he was crucified under Pontius Pilate. He suffered death and was buried. On the third day, he rose again, in accordance with the Scriptures. He ascended into heaven and is seated at the right hand of God. He will come again in glory to judge the living and the dead, and his kingdom will have no end. We believe in the Holy Spirit, the Lord, the giver of life, who proceeds from the Father, who with the Father and the Son is worshipped and glorified, who has spoken through the prophets. We believe in one holy Catholic and Apostolic Church. We acknowledge the baptism for the forgiveness of sins. We look for the resurrection of the dead and the life of the world to come. Amen.
Beloved God, Father and Mother of all, we rejoice in springtime renewal and in the resurrection of Jesus Christ. We recognize that Jesus Christ lived and ministered, died and rose in similar times to ours. We are grateful that through him, in the unifying love of the Holy Spirit, you welcome us into your divine life.
We give thanks and praise for your everlasting love.
We pray that we may all express the wisdom, kindness, and gracious ability to be helpful to others in every reasonable way. May we all become living examples of the grace you have brought to humankind.
We give thanks and praise for your everlasting love.
We pray for the rulers of all nations, especially Donald, our president, together with the legislative and judicial branches of our government, and ask that they make wise, compassionate choices to benefit the entire world, all people, creatures, and the environment.
We give thanks and praise for your everlasting love.
We pray for leaders of all faiths and for communities and families, that we might speak kindly with one another and recognize our common humanity. We also pray for Michael, our presiding bishop, and Wayne, our bishop, for Randall, our priest, Greg, our deacon, and Michael in deacon's formation.
We give thanks and praise for your everlasting love.
We rejoice with those celebrating birthdays this week: Lawrence, Kara, Caleb, Nancy, Natalie, Richard, Ken, Allison, Reed. And with those celebrating wedding anniversaries this week, Bob and Judy. And with those celebrating baptismal anniversaries this week, Eric, Allison, Elizabeth, James, Anne Marie, Madeline, Sarah, Sandy, Sally, Phil, Nora, Renee, Bram, Louie, Carol, Katie, Ben, and Catherine.
We give thanks and praise for your everlasting love.
We pray for all those suffering in the world, for those who are sick, for those who are addicted, for those who are dying. Remembering especially Anne, Melissa and family, Todd, Brad, Sue, Jeff, Stephen, Ken, Ruthie, Ken, Linda, Patrick, Jessica, Tom, Maggie, Carol, Rusty, Anne, Donald, Seal, George, Hope, Kathleen, Dan, Ron, Charlotte, Al, and James.
We thank you and trust us for your everlasting love.
We pray for those who have died and for their families, especially Neil, Nick, and Anna.
We thank you and trust in your everlasting love.
We ask for the protection and guidance of all those who have realized your constant presence with them, all the holy angels and saints, particularly Frederick, James, Richard, Martin, Mary, Daniel, and Ticken, whom we commemorate this week. Help us heed them and become more like them, thus celebrating your wisdom and love in ever-increasing glory.
The peace of the Lord be always with you. Death, where is your sting? Hell, where is your victory? Christ is risen and you are abolished. Christ is risen and the demons have fallen. Christ is risen and angels rejoice. Christ is risen and life has found freedom. Christ has risen, and there is not a single corpse in the grave. The Lord be with you.
And also with you.
Lift up your hearts.
We lift them to the Lord.
Let us give thanks to the Lord our God.
It is meet to give God thanks.
It is right and a good and joyful thing, always and everywhere to give thanks to you, Father Almighty, Creator of heaven and earth. But chiefly are we bound to praise you for the glorious resurrection of your Son, Jesus Christ our Lord. For he is the true Paschal Lamb who was sacrificed for us and has taken away the sin of the world. By his death he has destroyed death, and by his rising to life again, he has won for us everlasting life. Therefore we praise you, joining our voices with angels and archangels, and with all the company of heaven, who forever sing this hymn to proclaim the glory of your name. Holy and gracious Father, in your infinite love, you made us for yourself. And when we had fallen into sin and become subject to evil and death, you in your mercy sent Jesus Christ, your only and eternal Son, to share our human nature, to live and die as one of us, to reconcile us to you, the God and Father of all. He stretched out his arms upon the cross and offered himself in obedience to your will, a perfect sacrifice for the whole world. On the night he was handed over to suffering and death, our Lord Jesus Christ took bread. And when he had given thanks to you, he broke it and gave it to his disciples and said, "Take, eat, this is my body which is given for you. Do this for the remembrance of me." After supper, he took the cup. And when he had given thanks, he gave it to them and said, "Drink this, all of you. This is my blood of the new covenant, which is shed for you and for many for the forgiveness of sins. Whenever you drink it, do this for the remembrance of me."
Therefore, we proclaim the mystery of faith.
Christ has died. Christ is risen. Christ will come again. We celebrate the memorial of our redemption, O Father, in this sacrifice of praise and thanksgiving. Recalling his death, resurrection, and ascension, we offer you these gifts. Sanctify them by your Holy Spirit to be for your people the body and blood of your Son, the holy food and drink of new and unending life in him. Sanctify us also, that we may faithfully receive this holy sacrament and serve you in unity, constancy, and peace. And at the last day, bring us with all your saints into the joy of your eternal kingdom. All this we ask through your Son, Jesus Christ, by him and with him and in him, in the unity of the Holy Spirit, all honor and glory is yours, Almighty Father, now and forever. Amen.
As our Savior Christ has taught us, we now sing.
And forgive us our sins.
The disciples knew the Lord Jesus in the breaking of the bread. Gifts of God for the people of God.
Take them in remembrance that Christ died for you. Feed on him in your heart. I see.
Thank you.
Let us pray. Easter God, you have met us in bread and wine and surprised us with your joy. Send us out into the world dancing with delight and with hallelujah ringing in our hearts to share your loving justice and your praise. Amen.
Please be seated.
Festival blessings require the loudest possible amens. Okay, so it is your job to be as loud as possible. I want to scare the Presbyterians across the street. What are those Episcopalians up to this time, right? So let's hear those amens. If you're not really loud, I'll make you start over. I made 8 o'clock start over, just so you know. May Almighty God, who has redeemed us and made us his children through the resurrection of his Son, our Lord, bestow upon you the riches of his blessing.
Amen.
May God, who through the waters of baptism has raised us from sin into newness of life, make you holy and worthy to be united with Christ forever.
Amen.
May God, who has brought us out of bondage to sin into true and lasting freedom in the Redeemer, bring you to your eternal inheritance.
Amen.
And the blessing of God Almighty, the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit be amongst us and remain with us always.
Let us go forth into the world rejoicing in the power of the Spirit. Alleluia. Alleluia.
Thanks be to God. Alleluia. Alleluia.
I just want to say that your rector is a space cadet, and I left out the altar guild, who made the church look so unbelievably beautiful. So I want you all to be sure to go and thank the altar guild for all their hard work.